following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where we tackle the biggest issues in American education. School is now in session. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Mark Durkin.
Well, good evening, and thank you for joining us here on Education Nation. I'm your headmaster and host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and it's a privilege to join you every Saturday evening here on AM 1280 The Patriot. And of course, I'm joined in studio once again by the producer of Education Nation and my co-host, Mark Durkin.
And another good evening to you, Rebecca.
Yes, nice to see you, Mark. And of course, here in Minnesota, there's been much concern over the state's persistent achievement gaps between white and non-white students. And this has been an ongoing conversation for years.
Yes, and we've covered this also in many different avenues over the last couple of months. And according to data released in April by the Minnesota Department of Education, high school graduation rates continue to rise. In fact, the state's overall graduation rate in 2018 was 83.2%, with more than 55,800 students receiving their diplomas and moving on to either secondary education opportunities or careers. These numbers, they set the state's highest graduation rate on record.
But we know that there is a lot of information underlying that statistic.
That is. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be taking a look at that and some numbers that would seem to contradict that overall number.
Yes, or at least contradict whether those students should have been allowed to graduate.
That's right, all about standards.
Right.
But despite the increase in the number of students graduating, significant gaps do remain between white students and students of color. Well, tonight we'll examine the trends in Minnesota education from 2014 to 18. And how are Minnesota students performing in math and reading? Are the results from the Minnesota Comprehensive Assessment Tests echoing the increase in graduation rates that we see across the state? Well, over the next half hour, we're going to take a look at those results found in the Department of Education's online Minnesota report card.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that any person can access. You can just go ahead and Google Department of Education Minnesota report card, and you can even check out individual schools and that type of thing.
Yes.
But, you know, this whole idea of increasing graduation rates has been an important component of the educational conversation. And yet, to see it increase so quickly over a very short period of time should be a red flag to any astute listener or observer of education. And again, we want kids graduating, of course we do, but we want them truly being prepared for whatever they face after they graduate from high school. We don't want to just arbitrarily change the rules and allow them to graduate when they're really unprepared to graduate, because that's doing them a disservice too. And then ultimately that's doing our society a disservice.
Yes, it's a domino effect.
Exactly.
Sure.
So we really have to look at the scores to take a look at why this, but is it a valid increase in
and
the
to start asking
measure.
The deeper questions too.
Exactly.
If the numbers are so polar opposite, what exactly is going on in the classroom in terms of curriculum that are propping up these graduation rates?
Mm-hmm. Well, according to the Department of Education Commissioner Mary Catherine Ricker, rising graduation rates may be due in part to school districts creating more pathways to success. And that's a good thing. Offering options such as online school, alternative programs for kids who struggle in the traditional educational system, and courses to earn high school and college credits at the same time. In other words, providing many different pathways. And one of the things that we wanted to point out is in her making that statement, there's really an acknowledgement that school choice is an important issue in education. And I hope that Mary Catherine Ricker will take that to heart and not just want to limit it to what can be done within that public school realm, but take a look at some of the charter schools, take a look at the private schools and what they can offer students, and recognize that while there is not one pathway, some of these other pathways that she's maybe not mentioning are important options for students to increase the graduation rate as well.
Absolutely. And as they're being spoken about more and more from families across the state, hopefully that there will be an attentive ear to some of those requests.
Yes, I know there was actually, there's a group called, let's see, Opportunity for All Kids, that is working on trying to get legislation through, and actually has been trying to get legislation through the last few years, to provide tax credits to businesses and individuals where they would put money into a fund, which then families who meet certain financial criteria can apply to receive those funds, so that they can take that money and use it for private school tuition.
Absolutely.
And this is a great way to provide education options for students in Minnesota. And when we look at the MCA test scores, a lot of these private schools are doing much better than the public school cohort or their cohorts. So,
and it's important to mention too, those dollars are not being taken from public school districts, and they're not touching the public tax dollar.
Exactly, they're not vouchers, and that's one of the things that many on the left try to equate them with vouchers, but they are not vouchers. So, I'm glad to hear Mary Catherine Ricker talking about school choice. I hope she expands that conversation. But one of the state's highest educational priorities to support students to reach graduation involves eliminating disparities that are predictable based upon race, ethnicity, and income level. And of course, that's much easier said than done.
Yes.
And it is a very real issue that we do need to be addressing. I think the question is, how do we address it and how do we make sure that we're successful?
Okay. And the state, too, has accountability and supports in place for struggling high schools. And in fact, the state's plan under the Every Student Succeeds Act was approved by the U.S. Department of Education back in January of 2018. And just as a refresher for our listeners, in that plan, the state set an ambitious goal by 2020 that 90% of Minnesota students, 90%.
I know, that's incredible. That's only 1 year away.
Yeah, lots of work to be done.
Yeah.
Will graduate in 4 years, and no single student group's graduation rate will be below 85%.
Yeah.
So according to the Minnesota Department of Education, this goal reflects the state's strong commitment to equity and ensuring every Minnesota student receives a high school diploma, and is bolstered by the state's plan to identify for support any public high school with a four-year graduation rate that is currently below 67% overall, as or for any student group for that matter.
Which, again, you know, this is the plan that was just approved in January of 2018. Yeah. So they had 2 years to increase the graduation rate by about 30% across the state. And that's mind-boggling that they think that they could do that. And it's a little bit surprising that the U.S. Department of Education would even approve that. Because it seems such a lofty goal that it would be very difficult to reach and achieve in 2 years. But that being said, and really only 1.5 academic years. But that being said, you know, one of the things that we've talked about on the show before, Mark, we've had some parents in from Wayzata who talked a lot about equity grading.
Yes.
Well, I do believe that a lot of that equity grading is tying into these graduation rate goals, because what the equity grading is doing is essentially kind of providing equal playing field for students of all backgrounds. So if you remember, they had a 5-point system for grades. So if a student got 3 wrong out of 20, they might get a score of 3.
Right.
But a student right next to them who maybe got 10 wrong out of 20 also was getting a score of 3.
Yes.
And so while that seems absolutely contradictory in our minds and makes no sense, they justify this by saying that the student that got 10 wrong is maybe achieving what is possible for them, right, versus the student that got 3 wrong and still only got a 3. They had more ability. So if you use that kind of grading, I can see where the graduation rate is going to improve very dramatically, very quickly, because you're basically eliminating the actual gap arbitrarily and artificially. And therefore, you're going to see graduation increases very quickly.
Right. And, you know, to be honest with you too, Rebecca, I think this has been going on for a long time. My parents and I were talking just last week. My younger brother in 1987 was in middle school. Mm-hmm. He could not identify a noun or subject or verb, and could not spell. His teachers in middle school gave him a B+ for English.
What?
This has been, and my parents, I remember being at the school, they wanted to have him held back because they knew he wasn't ready to move on to the next grade.
Yeah.
And they gave them a very hard time in this pulling back. They want
great
to move
inflation
forward.
Yeah. and now it's a little bit more subversive, right? You could figure that out. Your parents could look at the report card and say B+, and he doesn't know his nouns and things.
Right.
Now those letters or those numbers get translated into letters on the report card. Parents really don't know how those letters are actually being determined, and that was part of the complaint of these parents that we brought in from Wayzata. So this is really, you know, an important topic for conversation, because we want kids who are graduating from high school to truly be prepared.
That's right.
We don't want it to be arbitrary.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, we're going to examine some of these graduation rates among different people groups. And what is a graduation rate? Well, in 2012, Minnesota began using the federally required adjusted cohort graduation rate model. Students are followed in a group or a cohort throughout high school, and it determines if they graduate within 4, 5, 6, or 7 years. And of course, each cohort is different. The 4-year graduation rate shows the number of students graduating from high school within 4 years after entering the 9th grade. Students that moved into the school are added into the final rate configuration while removing students who moved away. So this adjusted number represents the total number of students who are eligible to graduate. And then the actual graduation rate is determined by dividing the total number of students who actually graduated by the number of those who are eligible to graduate. Okay, so just to try to make that clear as to what this number really represents. So the statewide graduation rate from 2014 to 2018, again, all people groups combined, as we've said, has gone up from 81.4% statewide to 83.2% statewide in 4 years or 5 years. Mm-hmm. A little bit of an increase. This is, again, overall. But what they were really looking to change is the Black, African-American, Hispanic, those traditionally lower graduating groups of students that they were really trying to increase
and
target.
To raise those numbers, exactly. And so what happens when we begin, though, to examine the graduation rates of these single student groups? Mm-hmm. Well, remember, the state's goal starting in 2020 is for 90% of Minnesota high school students to graduate in 4 years and to make sure that no group is below a graduation rate of 85%. So it's important to keep those numbers in mind as we begin to dissect and look at some of these results from the report card. Well, when we look at the statewide graduation rate from 2014 to 18 amongst Black or African American students. In 2014, there was a graduation rate of 60.2%, a little more than 3,600 students were counted in that 4-year graduation period. Fast forward to 2018, and that number has moved up to 67.4%.
So
that
a huge
is a 7.2% increase in just 4 years.
Mm-hmm. So once again, looking at what does that really represent? We want to celebrate that if it represents good things. But when we start looking at the test scores, we're realizing that it may not represent actual improvement in the education rate of the students.
Absolutely. And amongst Hispanic or Latino students as well, in terms of statewide graduation rate in that same 4-year window, in 2014, the graduation rate amongst this student group was 63.2%. Again, fast forwarding to 2018, that number jumps to 66.8%, a little bit more than a 3.5 percentage mm-hmm. point bump in 4 years.
So not quite as much of an increase for the Hispanic and Latino group as there was for the Black and African American group, but still, nonetheless, a significant increase in the 5-year period. And then if you take a look at the American Indian or Alaskan Native, what you see is a similar trend. You see a change from 48.2% of overall graduation rate for that group of students in 2014 to 51% in 2018. So again, just about 3% increase in that group as well. And of course, there's probably fewer students in that category.
Yes.
And so that number is going to be a little bit skewed by the fact that there's fewer students.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at the Asian rate of graduation, theirs increased as well from 82.4. So started at a much higher level overall. And we know this consistently that though there is a gap between whites and African-American and white and Hispanic, the Asian often outperform the white students. And in this case, their graduation rate was 82.4% in 2014 and did increase to 86.6% in 2018 as well.
And what's interesting about that, too, is that, you know, oftentimes when we hear about the achievement gaps, it's always between white students and non-white students, but we never hear Asians mentioned
right.
in that statement
right.
as well, too.
That's because they don't fit the...
Right.
They don't fit the conversation.
Right, right. Had to mention.
Yes.
So but you mentioned, yes, I mean, Asian graduation rates from the low to the mid-80s consistently over the course of that five-year window. Mm-hmm. And then when we look at white students and their graduation rate, rather, over that time period, in 2014, there was a graduation rate of 86.5%. And again, if we fast forward to 2018, that has bumped up to 88.4%, which mm-hmm. is a little less than 2%, and it is mm-hmm. the smallest margin of graduation growth amongst
right.
all the people.
Right, right, exactly. And in some respects, that would be expected just because it's already a higher rate, and so there's not as much room to
right.
be able to improve,
right.
but still an improvement there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, it sounds good. Right, because we want to hear that more kids are graduating. I
yes.
mean, how many times have I come on this show and talked about the fact that Minneapolis, the graduation rate in the Minneapolis public schools is so low, and particularly for Black and Hispanic students. And so we want to hear good news,
yes.
but we want it to be real
right,
good
to
news.
To be accurate
yes,
and truly
to represent
supportive.
Hope for these kids' future rather than just we're running them through the system in a different way so that it looks good.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, from the charts, you know, we can see that these graduation rates, they are trending up each year. However, if you have a close examination of the online assessments, this paints really a very different picture. And, you know, tonight we want to take a look at how individual student groups are trending on the MCA3 tests. This is known as the Minnesota Comprehensive Assessments, and they are taken by Minnesota students, which give parents, educators, administrators, and state education officials an indication as to how students are performing in math, reading, and science. And this allows, overall, an accurate assessment of how students are truly performing. It gives us a better picture of that. So tonight, you know, just for the sake of time, we're going to go ahead and take a look at the results of all of those that have tested on the math and the reading assessments.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, we start off with the statewide results. That's how we began
right.
on the graduation
mm-hmm.
rates. We'll do the same for the MCAs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And for the subject of math, just starting with the subject of math, all grades, and that would include grades 3 through 8 and 11th grade. The 11th grade students would be the last ones to test on mm-hmm. the math assessment for the MCAs. And in 2014, there was a 61.4% proficiency
mm-hmm.
of passing for all students that that took this test in 2014. Fast forwarding to 2018, those numbers have dropped
mm-hmm.
to 57%.
Thus, our concern about what that graduation rate really represents, because
right.
that's a significant drop. That's actually, let's see, what about 4.5 percentage points? And that's a big, again, a very, very big drop.
But here's what's really distressing about that, too. If you look at the assessments that were just given to the 11th graders
mm-hmm.
alone in that time period, so these are the ones that are the closest to graduation,
mm-hmm.
their proficiency percentages statewide have dropped from 50.6 to 47.1. That's 3.5 percentage
mm-hmm.
points just in the 11th grade alone.
11th grade alone. And they're the ones that are obviously the closest to graduating.
Graduation, right.
So they're the ones that we would be most concerned about because there's no time to actually make up for that loss.
Yes.
Yeah, you are listening to Education Nation Radio with Rebecca Hagstrom and Mark Durkin.
AM
1280 The Patriot. Yes. And we are looking forward to continuing this conversation with our listeners regarding test scores in Minnesota, the MCAs, and how they relate to the graduation
right.
rates as well.
Right. And if we you know, take it a step further, and we'll start to look at these individual selection groups again. And so we've just looked at the statewide numbers. But when we look at the math results for all grades on the MCA tests for Black or African American students, in 2014, the percentage of proficiency was at 32%.
Mm, which is already incredibly low and yes. very concerning.
Yes, yes. And then you fast forward to 2018, and from that time, from 14 to 18, there was a continual drop each year. In 2018, it had dropped to 27.8%, and we're talking a little more than 4%, 4.2%.
That is so frightening.
Right. And remember, graduation rate was up 7.2% in that window.
Yes. And that's why we're sounding this horn, because this is obviously reflecting a downturn in the academic preparation for life, and yet the graduation rate is increasing. And so that can only mean one thing, and that is that there are more students graduating that are unprepared than what we're graduating before.
Right.
And that is not, that's not acceptable. That's unacceptable for a society, and it's certainly not acceptable for the individual students themselves.
Right.
And
now that's the overall numbers. Now, if you look at the 11th grade students, mm-hmm. okay, of African-American students, over that five-year window, their proficiency rates have dropped from 18.8 to 17.7%. So it seems like the lower, you know, the higher mm-hmm. grades 3 through 8, the younger kids are carrying the day, but what's happening as they get to the 11th grade where the numbers are even below 20%?
Oh my, that's just, it is really appalling, Mark, and mm-hmm. so concerning. And again, kind of harkens back to the importance of school choice. You know, we need to be getting these kids opportunities to learn. And if it's not happening in their own school, there needs to be opportunity for those parents yes. to move those kids out of that school and into other higher performing schools. Yes. And then if we take a look at math for all grades with respect to Asian students, the number is higher. They had 59% proficiency on the MCA math tests. But then again, the decrease by 2018, it was down to 56.1%. And so we continue to see this decrease even in the Asian students and even in the white students. So started out with 68.9% proficiency on the math MCA tests in 2014. And by 2018, it had dropped 2 percentage points to 66.4%. Mm-hmm. And so we have to, again, take a look at curriculum here. 2014 is when Common Core was instituted across the states that had accepted it. And while Minnesota did not actually accept the math standards through the Common Core, they ended up accepting them by default because a lot of the textbooks changed. A lot of the districts accepted those new textbooks. If you talk to families who have their children in the public schools, almost exclusively they're doing Common Core math. And therefore, though we didn't accept the Common Core standards, right. they have become the standard for math in Minnesota. And we know that Common Core math is confusing for kids, especially in those lower school years, and it doesn't set them up with the foundation of knowledge that they need
right.
to perform well in those more advanced math classes,
yes.
which may explain why we see those numbers deteriorate as they reach the 11th grade. Mm-hmm. So it's important for our listeners to know that I firmly believe that a lot of these math results are due to the Common Core math
yeah.
having permeated most of our public schools and even most of our private schools today, too.
Mm-hmm.
So a concern all around. We want to be looking at what curriculums actually work, and we want to be looking at what schools actually work.
Yes, and then we can also take a look at the reading assessment portion of the Minnesota Comprehensive Assessments, and they do indicate an increased percentages in proficiencies, but yet there's still a considerable achievement gap that exists between white and non-white students. But also, if you look at the increases are rather marginal, and they are still far below what the 85% mm-hmm. Goal is
right.
in terms of graduation rate.
Right.
So, and we'll yeah. just go through these quickly.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at these MCA tests for reading in that five-year window, statewide, the percent proficiency in 2014 was 59.1%. Up to 2018, it's 59.8%, less than a percentage point of growth
mm-hmm.
Across
mm-hmm.
the state. And when we look at Black or African American students, that proficiency has increased from 31.6 in 2014 all the way to 33.7% in 2018. Again, a very marginal growth in not growing at a fast enough rate to meet what the state has designated for.
Well, and again, think about this. 33.7% proficient amongst black or African American students. That is not preparation for the future. That is not going to give them the tools they need to be successful in life. And we have to have compassion for these students, and we need to provide an opportunity where they're really going to get the educational tools that they need to be successful, because these kids can perform. They can.
Absolutely.
They need to be given the right set of tools,
opportunity.
The right opportunity, the right curriculum, the right teaching, the right support, and they can be successful.
Yes.
So again, if we look at Hispanic and Latino students, a little higher than the Black and African American, but still low in the sense that we don't believe that they are prepared for their future. Their proficiency ratings were at 35.6 for reading in 2014 and went up to 38% for reading in 2018. So again, an increase, but still at such low numbers that we are concerned for this student population for the long term. Asians went up by 50% to 54% in 5 years in their reading proficiency. And if you take a look at the white and white students from 2014 to 2018, they gained about 2 percentage points, going from 66 to 68. In their reading proficiency. So again, you see the white and Asian students performing at the highest level. But what is most important about this information today that we really want our listeners to gain is that the graduation rates are increasing. The goal for graduation rates is 90% for the state of Minnesota in 1 year's time. And yet we have math and reading proficiency scores in the 20s and 30%.
Right.
That is not an equation for success. And it certainly doesn't give good reason for graduation. And we want to have compassion on these kids and provide them the tools that they need so that they can be successful.
Right, absolutely. And I think if you also look to, there are members of public school districts across the country and even in Congress that recognize the need to give their children more opportunity that's going to meet their educational needs. Just real quickly, looking at an article from 2013 written by a gentleman named Mark Perry from AEI.org. He said, "Why do public school teachers send their own children to private schools at a rate of 2 times the national average? Public school teachers in bigger cities like Chicago, 39% of them enroll their own children in private schools, more than 3 times the national average.
Wow.
And in New York, 33% enroll their own children in private schools. And then if you look at members of Congress, back in 2013, 33 to 44% enroll their children in private schools, 3 to 4 times the national average.
So if they recognize these disparities, we all need to recognize and acknowledge these disparities and give people the option to send their kids to private schools if they want to do that, while we work on what works in the public schools. We want to protect those schools as well. All right. Thank you so much for joining us here on Education Nation. If you want to listen to this podcast or other podcasts, go to ednationmn.org.